You're listening to a podcast from thebodypro.com. The following podcast was recorded at the 14th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, also known as CROI 2007. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.
We're with Dr. David Wohl at CROI 2007, and he's going to tell us what he thought the highlights of this conference have been for him.
Thank you, Bonnie. I think this is a really difficult conference in which to pick out one or two or three top things. And certainly it's a little bit easier than the international conference where there's just so much. This is much more refined. There are fewer presentations. And I think increasingly at this conference we're seeing less and less that's relevant to HIV care in the United States because there's more and more information coming from other parts of the world. So I think there are several things that I found really fascinating as a clinician who treats people here. The big one, of course, I think is ACTG-5142. And what's nice about what we've done with thebody.com and thebodypro.com is we just completed the top 10 stories of 2006, and a lot of the seeds of those stories are kind of germinating here at this conference. So we saw 5142, big HIV trial of efavirenz versus Keytruda, and now we get the metabolic data from that study. And again, it's surprising. When you look at lipids, there's not that much difference between Sestiva and Keytruda. Surprisingly, most people would have bet there would be. And when you look at body shape, completely off-the-wall results, where we don't see lipoatrophy in people who are on Keytruda, but we do see it in people who are on Sestiva, except when Keytruda and Sestiva are put together. So it's got a lot of people scratching their heads. And I think this is actually healthy for us because it makes us bet protease inhibitors don't cause body shape changes or if they don't cause lipoatrophy. And we're learning that the data are much more important than the dogma. And I think that's really refreshing. We may not understand everything, but I actually think that this is healthy for us. And it makes us drop our assumptions so we can figure out what's really going on. So I really liked that study in particular. There's more data that's coming out from these large cohorts. There was a DAD study. So DAD is this mega cohort of people who are being followed in North America and Europe. And, you know, the big story out of DAD has always been cardiovascular disease, that the longer you're on PI therapy, the greater your chance of having a heart attack, even though the number of people with heart attacks is rather small. Well, we're learning that malignancies is also something that they're able to track pretty well. And there's a report here on fatal malignancies that developed during DAD. And it's almost as many fatal malignancies as there were heart attacks in the study. There's been like 360 heart attacks and there were 305 fatal malignancies. So it's just as important. And these are fatal. This doesn't even count the ones that were not fatal. And the big take-home messages were, one, that non-AIDS-associated malignancies were responsible for over 60% of the malignancies that developed and killed people in that cohort.
Can you specify the malignancies?
Yeah. There were a number of different ones that kind of sliced up the pie. Lung cancer was a big one. Genitourinary cancer, which I think probably means mostly prostate cancer, maybe some bladder cancer, was a big one. And I think there were some other solid organ tumors that kind of rounded out the list. So the other part of that was, so not only are traditionally non-AIDS-associated malignancies more common than AIDS-associated malignancies in this cohort of people with HIV, but the lower your CD4 cell count went, the greater your risk of having a non-AIDS-associated malignancy. So I think this really changes maybe what we think is called a non-AIDS-related malignancy. My friend Joe Bick, who is here in California, he said, we really just have to think maybe these are AIDS-associated malignancies, and I think that's completely accurate.
Because of low CD4 count.
Yeah, I think we're learning that the immune system does a lot more than just protect us from germs. It protects us also from malignancies. And so when there's a cell that goes aberrant and it becomes malignant, our immune system says that's foreign and it attacks it just like it would a germ. So I think there's a really important role there. This has implications for how we think about screening people for HIV. Screening people for cancer who have HIV. And I think that prostate cancer screening, we're going to have to look really hard at that in the setting of HIV. And maybe HIV is sort of a big risk factor for prostate cancer, such as being African-American or having a first-degree relative. Maybe it's of that importance. So I think those are things we're going to have to answer. Certainly, it really redoubles our efforts to get people to stop smoking. We have better technologies now, better efforts. And I think all HIV doctors have to learn how to help people stop smoking. We have to become smoking cessation experts. Because a large proportion of these people die from lung cancer. So uh-huh. another real.
So I didn't come here knowing that. The incidence of smoking is very high in the
incredibly high. In the studies that we've seen here and elsewhere, we're talking about 40% of people or more. So we're seeing way too many smokers. And if you're HIV positive and you're taking HIV medicines and you continue to smoke, it's a push pull. The smoking actually does have negative effects on your ability to live with this infection.
Mm-hmm. What about? Was there any other data that you thought was interesting at the conference?
Well, I think there's a bunch of information that's more of like a smattering, but kind of collectively tell a story. You know, there's more and more posters here about testing, about how we have to expand testing and the benefits from expanding testing. We're missing opportunities. I think that expanded testing really, the positives certainly outweigh the negatives, and we're seeing more and more that, you know, you just don't want to miss someone with HIV. When you see them before you, or when they come to an emergency room, or they come in for routine care, or they get admitted to the hospital for something else, we have to make this much more routine.
Even though we can't afford the treatment?
Well, maybe we can afford the treatment. How much are we spending a week in Iraq? You know, we can afford it. We can do it. You know, this is one country where, you know, people get their HIV medicines by and large, and there's certainly horrible examples of people who don't, but, you know, we could rise to the occasion. I don't think that should deter us from not identifying people who otherwise would maybe die from their infection, because the cost of care actually is more expensive when we don't diagnose it earlier. There's a nice report, it's in the top 10, about, you know, prognosis of living with HIV infection, the cost of care. Turns out if you start HIV therapy at a higher CD4 cell count, it costs less money over time than it does if you start with a low CD4 cell count. So I think that's also really important stuff. So those are some of the things that I think really were important, besides the things that everyone's going to talk about, which is the new drugs. And new drugs are fine, and I'm glad we have new drugs, and that helps us for our patients who've kind of gone through all the different regimens and they've burned bridges and there's not much left. This is a new lease on life for them, so I think that's exciting, and we want to see more of that. So, you know, I think this has been a productive conference, and more will come out of it in the next few days when we sit down with all the data and we could see, well, this one really actually was important, and I didn't see this, but my friend did. So a lot of data sharing goes on later on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from thebodypro.com. For more podcasts and full coverage of major HIV medical conferences, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.